I invite you to turn, please, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. My text is verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." One of the grand things of our modern generation is the great advancements of technology. So much has changed over the past 50 years. Knowledge and ability seems to grow by leaps and bounds. So much more can be accomplished now than way back then. It seems as if new technology is being developed quicker and quicker. Take, for example, the tremendous opportunities which are available in the field of health. Surgery may be performed with lasers. Wow. Laparoscopic, that's a difficult term. Laparoscopic surgery allows a 1-inch incision where in the past a person had to be nearly cut in half. Then what about the replacing of worn-out parts? Transplants of all sorts have been made, such as kidney or heart transplants, and most recently a face transplant. How marvelous is that? But now we are able to take out the old and put in the new. Knee and hip replacement surgery is a common thing nowadays. Proof is seen where most recently our brother had his hip replaced. Well, it is my intention to look into our text and consider a spiritual surgery, if you will. And my concern is not about a knee or a hip, but of the heart. I'm not talking about a transplant where we receive from a donor. Rather, I am talking about a brand new heart. So I look into our passage today and other parallel verses, and the message is entitled Heart Replacement. A heart replacement. Let's pray. God in heaven today, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness, providential hindrance. There are those traveling. Lord, just watch over each one, meet all these needs. And yet we've come here today to honor you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that you bless your word now as it goes forth, that which you laid upon my heart to share. And I do ask if there's any in our midst today that are lost, that, Lord, today would be the day their heart would be replaced. God, thank you for the salvation you've given to those of us who are saved. Thank you for what you've worked in our lives, the difference you've made. And you are the great physician, not only physically, but spiritually. And so I ask today that you would just open up hearts and minds, especially the lost, in regard to this matter of a heart replacement. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about a heart replacement today. And the first thing I need to do is give you an overview of the text. We read in verse 26, he says, "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." And so we see the distinction there. But Israel had been carried away into captivity. Ezekiel, he was a prophet to those in captivity. And if you should take the time to consider the previous 12 chapters before our passage, you will find prophecies concerning God's judgment over the nations surrounding Israel. Entering then into our chapter, chapter 36, despite the judgment which has come upon Israel, God extends comfort unto them. He reminds them that he has not forsaken them, but rather he is, if I may say, in our society, he's in their corner. It is his desire to bless them, restore them to power, and prosper them. And true, they were judged for their sin, but now he will show them pity, albeit for his holy name's sake. And then the heathen shall know that God is Israel's God, verse 23 tells us. This they will know because God will gather Israel back into the land and cleanse them, verse 24, verse 25, and he will give them a new heart and a new spirit whereby they shall keep his commandments, verse 26 and verse 27. Well, after which they shall continue to dwell in the land as it is written in verse 28, ye shall be my people and I will be your God. God will then bless them and cause them to prosper so much so that the land which was desolate will become like the Garden of Eden. And by this the heathen shall know. Now my text speaks of a renewal of a nation. Assuredly, this is a spiritual statement. But it is analogous. It compares to the renovation of a soul, a new mindset, a new purpose. Their heart was hard and stony, and that will be taken away and replaced with a heart of flesh. Now, I submit unto you that this spiritual claim may be applied to the salvation of a sinner. He who has a heart of stone can be given a soft heart. But neither the text nor I speak about a surgical repair or the transplant of a used heart from somewhere else. Rather, it is the complete removal of the old and the installation of the new. And this shall be my approach as we consider this subject this morning. So with this in mind, I would offer you a few more passages to bring your attention toward this subject. In chapter 18, verse 31, listen. It says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" Regarding Saul, who would then become king over Israel, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9 says, "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day." I submit unto you that when we are saved, God gives us another heart. It is a heart replacement. Now you might raise up the question, why in the world would God give us another heart? Well, why do you need a heart replacement? Well, in the case of Israel, as we see within our passage here in chapter 36, the Scripture defines for us that they had a stony heart, a hard heart, one that was hardened against God and the ways of God, one that was rebellious, one that was against the Lord, a hard, stony heart. Also, you'll look into the passage, by implication, they had a corrupt spirit. And we talk about the heart of an individual, we talk about their spirit, their inclinations, their disposition, their goals, and they're whoever they are as a person. And we can say, well, that's a hard person. You've said that, haven't you? They have a hardened heart. Well, Israel had a heart like stone, and they were rebellious in spirit. They had a corrupt spirit because the text tells us that not only does He give them a new heart, He gives them a new spirit. So all that kind of goes together, doesn't it? And so when we look at the nation of Israel, and all you have to do is take time to read through the Old Testament Scriptures, and you'll find very evident all throughout about how they were disobedient, went away from God, hardened in their hearts. I mean, time and time and time again. This description is a clear description. They had a stony heart and a corrupt spirit. And I submit unto you, the nation of Israel could not fix either one of those. And that's a problem. Jeremiah states over in chapter 13 and verse 23, Jeremiah says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots?" Now here's the essential element. "Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Fact of the matter is, the nation of Israel as a nation was accustomed to doing evil. They had a stony heart and a corrupt spirit, and they cannot fix that. You cannot do good when you're accustomed to do evil. And so we think of the nation of Israel and that which is expressed in the text and said, because of this, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. And so the need for a heart replacement comes from the depravity of a man's heart. True as a nation, true as an individual. And so I submit unto you, it is true with you, dear sinner. Your heart is bad. Your spirit is bad. Now I know that doesn't impress you too much. I know that kind of offends you a little bit. But I want you to know, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an enemy of God. You are dead in trespasses and sins. And no matter how much you think you're good, and no matter how you perceive yourself, I want you to realize and recognize that from God's perspective, you have a bad heart and your spirit's corrupt. Let me offer you some verses that bear these things out. Just general verses. Some of these discuss the children of Israel. Some discuss the Gentiles. Some of these just discuss people in general. But the fact of the matter is, it talks about the heart. And as lost sinners, these things certainly well apply. And dear safe friend, you can think back. You can remember. You know what it was like before you were saved. Listen to some of these verses that express the heart. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, "How have I hated instruction and in my heart despised reproof?" That's the way it is when a person goes against God. They just hate reproof. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 14. Forwardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Where is forwardness found? In his heart. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. They have a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief. Where's this sin coming from? We look around our society. Where's that coming from? It's coming from the heart. Proverbs 19:3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Proverbs 21:4. A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of wicked is sin. Pride is one of the major problems we see in our society. Proud hearts. It's a wrong heart. It's a bad heart. It's a stony heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Solomon, as he expresses about life in general, in chapter 9, verse 3, he says, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. After that, they go to the dead." And boy, that's an accurate description of mankind, is it not? Those apart from God. Well, their heart is full of evil, it says. Madness is in their heart. We see it all the time, don't we? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 19 and verse 20. "None considers in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say." He's talking about a guy that worships a false god, a false idol. "They have no understanding to say, I burned a part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it. Shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand?" And I'll tell you, there are people all over our society that worship idols. You can see it when you drive down the street. They have them standing out in front of their houses. They have them on their dashboards. And some of them have them hanging around their neck. They have these idols, gods and goddesses and things of that they worship. And their heart is so deceived, they cannot recognize that this is a lie that is in their hand. Deceived heart. Jeremiah 5:23 says, "But this people hath a revolting, a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone." Well, that's an absolute description of the children of Israel and of all other nations. But we already read they had a stony heart and they needed a new spirit. And so they have a rebellious heart. Therefore, Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart, my friend. Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." See, the natural man has a wrong heart, doesn't he? Now, if you would, consider what in the biblical description, especially in the New Testament Scriptures, the Bible describes for us a lost sinner as being dead. In Ephesians chapter 2 specifically, and in the first six verses, gives a discussion the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus in regard to what they used to be and how they were saved and how God changed their life. But I want you to know, dear sinner friend, you're here, you're lost, you're dead. You have a stony heart. You have a corrupt spirit. You need a new heart. You need a heart replacement, don't you? Well, that description over in Ephesians chapter 2, we find from that, well, those who are lost, they walk according to the course of this world. It's a good description. They're walking according to the prince of darkness, it says, whose lifestyle is that of the flesh and the mind. Isn't that true of those around the world that are lost? They're called children of disobedience. And by nature, they're children of wrath. That's lost man. That's the natural man apart from Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 2 gives, and let me offer you a few verse references as I did some Old Testament scriptures. Just three of them I offer unto you. Romans chapter 2 verse 5 says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." You say, what does that verse mean? You know, in our society, if you commit a crime, you get indicted for it. And so then you stand before the judge and you're under indictment. This is the accusation against you. And what this verse tells us in Romans chapter 2 is that the natural man, apart from God, what he is doing, he says, "After thy hardness and impenitent heart," that's the kind of heart they have, "treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath." And very simply, every sin that a lost person commits is laying up an indictment before the judgment, of which he will give an account for the deeds done in the body. Every sin. Multiple indictments, myriads of them. And what kind of heart do you have? A hard and impenitent heart. Oh, the lost, they need a new heart, don't they? You needed a new heart before you were saved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 tells us, and it's a reference to the Gentiles, but it applies to all those that are lost, "having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." The blindness of their heart. Remember before you were saved how you were blind? And someone would try to tell you about who you were. You were lost, you were undone, you needed the Savior, but you were blinded. And as you witness now and you tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes you marvel at their lack of response and their lack of understanding. What do you expect? They're blind. They're blind. It's the blindness of the heart. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes in regard to false prophets, and he says, "having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 3. But what do you find there? Does not the world practice their sin? As they continue after the way of the world and after the way of their life and their own nature. The problem is they have a stony heart. A corrupt spirit. And so when I think about the question, well, why do I need a new heart? Why do I need a heart replacement? Because the old one just is no good. And it cannot be fixed. And so as you look here in Romans chapter 3, I submit unto you, dear sinner friend, that you have sinned against God. Now, Romans chapter 3, very familiar passage, verse 10 through verse 12 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Do not fall into the poor philosophy that you can hear in our society about, well, in man, there's really a basic nature of being good. And there's a little spark there, and all you got to do is find that spark and fan it a little bit, and it'll flame up, and man will be a good person. No, sir, it doesn't work that way. The Bible tells us there's none that doeth good. There's none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They all have stony hearts. They all have corrupt spirits. And so don't be deceived by the philosophy of the world. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There is nothing in man whereby he can present to God any form of righteousness. We're sinners. And you're best to admit, I have a stony heart. I have a corrupt spirit. I am dead in trespasses and sins. You're better off to understand that and to recognize it. Because then you might be saved. You might have a heart replacement. And, chapter 3, verse 23 says, "All has sinned and come short of the glory of God." So none of us are exempt. And so, sinner, you have sinned against God. Recognize that, accept that, believe it. And with that being the case, you turn to chapter 6, very familiar verse, verse 23. Says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Oh, by the way, the gift of God is that new heart. But the first part, what you need to recognize, the wages of sin is death. Because you have a stony heart, because you have a corrupted spirit. You're under the judgment of God. You're under the wrath of God. The wages of sin is death. That's your payment for all those things that you've done. You keep laying up indictments for that judgment. And you need to understand that, dear sinner. That's why you need a new heart. Because your first heart, your normal heart, who you are as a lost person, it's broken. I mean, it is hard as stone. And your spirit is corrupt. And just like the children of Israel that had that kind of condition in a spiritual sense across the entire nation, so it is for each of you that are here that are lost. You cannot fix that problem. Israel couldn't fix it. You cannot fix it. Your heart's bad. So Titus 3:5, let me read to you. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost." I'm so glad that I'm not what I used to be. God saved me. God cleansed me. But I could not do it myself. I could not fix it. It's not by works of righteousness. Remember what Jeremiah said to the nation of Israel? Still true today. Jeremiah 23:13, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots?" No, they cannot do it. So he says, "Then you may also do good that are accustomed to do evil." But the problem is you've done it all your life. Your heart is bad. It just can't be fixed. Truth of the matter is, you need a new heart. A new heart. And I pray that you would recognize that, dear sinner. And dear Christian, I pray that you would understand that's what it was for you. But He saved you. And He gave you that new heart. So let's talk for a few moments about receiving a new heart. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. While you're turning unto that place, as I've mentioned to you again and again, I made reference to Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 1 about they're dead in trespasses and sins. Well, the problem is if you're dead, you can't fix that. If you got a bad heart, you can't fix that. If you have a corrupt spirit, you can't fix that. You need life. Where are you going to get that life? Well, Ephesians 2:1 says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The word quickened means to be made alive. And so we read over in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now the text actually is to be born from above. A man needs to have life that comes from above. It doesn't come from below. It doesn't come from within. You're dead, but you need new life. Where's that life going to come from? It comes from above. And so Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And if you're not born from above, if you do not have life, you will not see the kingdom of God. Why? Because you still have a stony heart. And you still have a corrupt spirit. And so, dear sinner, I point you to Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, because He alone can give you a new heart. In receiving a new heart. What is this? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we look at verse 17. And when God saves an individual, what He does is He comes into His, He gives them life, grants the graces of repentance and faith, and then as He enters into the heart, He dwells in their heart, and He gives them a new heart. So much so that Paul expressed it this way in the passage I've asked you to turn to, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." A new heart. A new heart. You know what happened to me back in 1974? God gave me a new heart. Do you know what happened to you when you were saved? God gave you a new heart. You had a stony heart, a corrupt heart, and you couldn't fix it. And you were doomed in that condition, but God in His grace and His mercy gave you a new heart. Doesn't He deserve the honor and the glory and the praise? Absolutely. But you received a new heart. Listen to a few verses that speak about this kind of a thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "You put on the new man, which is renewed in a knowledge after the image of Him that created him." You see, as the children of God, we put on the new man. And more we need to be more like Jesus Christ. And we're being changed into His image. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You see, I was blinded. I was in the dark. And God caused the light to shine forth. Aren't you so glad He did that for you? He opened up your heart and opened up your soul and He gave you life. And so you've been saved. And when He saved you, He gave you a new heart. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 expresses it this way, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." What heart does He write them into? The new heart. That's who we are when we're saved. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And so how is it then? I'm lost, I'm undone, I have a stony heart, I'm dead in trespass and sins. I need a heart replacement. Can I have a heart replacement? Is there a possibility to have a heart replacement? Well, we know that there is. We discussed some verses here, what God can do. But how is it that a lost sinner can have a new heart? How is it that I now am saved? I'm not what I used to be. You're saved. You're not what you used to be. How did that happen that you had a new heart? Well, I just want to enumerate, first of all, that it is the work of God through the Holy Spirit. I could not affect the new heart. You couldn't do it for me. Do you know who performed the surgery? God did. God did. And as it were, as we think about this in illustrative form, God opened up my chest, took out my old heart, and gave me a brand spanking new one. He didn't take one from somewhere else. He gave me a brand spanking new heart. Salvation is a work of God through His Holy Spirit. That's the only way that my heart can be made new. That's the only way that it had been made new, is by God working. Therefore, secondly, it is by the grace of God. You cannot earn it. You cannot deserve it. And you can live your life to the best of your ability, keeping the commandments, and you can join this church, and you can give money, and you can do all kinds of wonderful things, but you cannot bring forth a new heart. You cannot do it. God is the only one that can do that, and God only does it by grace. By grace. But I do submit unto you, dear sinner friend, though you think about, oh, God then is a sovereign God. He sits upon His throne. God must do it and it must be affected by His grace. I want to remind you then, as God moves in your heart, you repent and believe. It's as simple as that. You can't do it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't make it happen. But as God moves in you, as God convicts, as God draws, as God woos, by the working of His Spirit, you repent and you believe. Why? Because the fact of the matter is, nothing but a new heart will solve your problem. And where are you going to get that new heart? Only God can give it. Only God can do it. But as God moves and draws, you respond to Him. Take for an example, although it's probably a poor example, those of you who have had parts replaced. And you know who you are. You went into the doctor and they cut you open and they took out that old part and they put you in a new one. They did. You couldn't do the surgery. You couldn't produce the surgery. All you did is sought the surgeon. And that's what I want you to take away from that. As a sinner, you can't do the surgery. You can't produce the heart. All you can do is seek the surgeon. Does that make sense? Dear sinner friend, you need a heart replacement. I encourage you, seek the surgeon. Cry out to God and confess to Him, God, I have a stony heart. I know my spirit's corrupt. I know I don't give much thought about You, don't much have much concern for You, and I live my life my way, but I ask You as the great spiritual surgeon to give me a new heart. That's where genuine salvation comes in, when God in heaven gives you a new heart. Without the new heart, you'll not see God. You have to have life from above. You have to have a heart replacement. And I pray that makes sense to you. And I pray for every Christian that's a blessing to you. And for every sinner, the picture's clear enough for you to recognize you're condemned. There isn't any way you can fix that. But God has made a way. And God is the one that can give you a new heart. So turn to Him. Cry out to God for mercy. Plead with Him to give you a new heart. And see what He does. See what He does. Sinner, you need a heart replacement. And for all those of us who are saved, we've already had it. Thank God for it. And then let us live right and live as He desires to, because He did put His law in our hearts and our minds. Let us be obedient. Well, let's stand. I appreciate your attention. Let's stand. Let's pray. God in heaven, I recognize today that the message that I have is a very simple message, but nonetheless true. And Father, I pray for those that are lost. I ask that You would convict them, show them their great need of Jesus Christ, show them their hard heart and their corrupt spirit. And I pray that You would grant grace to them, grant them life, that they would cry out to You, and I pray that You would give them a new heart today. Save the lost, strengthen the saved. We pray it in Jesus' name, and amen. Songs number 300.